I'm Alia.
And I'm Michael.
And it's time for the next installment of the Dead Air Gypsies. We're going to be talking about Halloween.
Comparing and contrasting Halloween from Lopez Island trick-or-treaters' standpoint to a Bostonian standpoint.
And then we'll be maybe talking about scary subjects like politics.
Way scarier than anything to do with Halloween.
That was Marilyn Manson with Sweet Dreams. And that was the cover. Who did that song originally?
The Eurythmics.
Okay, well, we played that song because we know a lot of you listeners probably listen to the Dead Air Gypsies before you go to bed. So we played you Sweet Dreams. So me and Michael just got back from a meeting. We were just hoodwinked into going to a meeting. We thought it was gonna be a party, turned out to be a meeting, but it was fun anyway. There was some singing in between the meeting things, and some food, and people talked about the radio station, talked about important topics about the radio station, like in 5 years we might be able to broadcast all of Lopez. So more people could hear the Dead Air Gypsies and other great shows. So we're gonna start off this show by talking about Halloween and especially trick-or-treating. Oh, let's begin by talking about the history of Halloween. Michael's been doing some research about the history of Halloween.
The history of Halloween, it was a day of October 31st. It was a day of religious festivities in various northern European pagan traditions. But then Pope Gregory the 3rd and 4th moved the All Saints Day, which was traditionally May 13th or May 11th, to November 1st, because he wanted to get in on the good pagan fun that they were having on Halloween. So he moved All Saints to be November 1st, and then both were kind of celebrated on the same day. It started out, it was like...
Oh, what's the position of the Catholic Church on Halloween these days?
Well, some guy that's like the Vatican-appointed head expert on like exorcisms says that it's no big deal if the kids want to dress up as the undead for one day and get a bunch of candy. So that's pretty cool. I thought the Catholics might like, you know, be against it, but no, they're all right with it.
Cool.
And then the ancient Celtic festival of, and I'm not even sure how to say it, but they call it Samhain. I think it's like Shavuot or something. At the end of the harvest season, that's how it started. It was the end of the harvest, and it was regarded as the Celtic New Year. The festival was a time used by the ancient pagans to take stock of their supplies and slaughter livestock for winter storage. The ancient Gaels believed that on October 31st, the boundary between the alive and the deceased became dangerous for the living because problems such as sickness and damaged crops arose. The festivals would frequently involve bonfires in which the bones of the slaughtered livestock were thrown into the fires. And then, let's see, Irish Americans, like during the famine time, that's when they carried, you know, I didn't even know this. I mean, I'm Irish American and I had no clue that it started in Ireland until I went to my Bible, Wikipedia. And Irish Americans carried versions of the tradition to North America during the famine.
Oh, yeah. I didn't believe him at first because I thought, oh, yeah, it started in Ireland. Like everything cool started in Ireland.
Just and like when she told me San Juan salsa was the best salsa in the world, I thought she was just bragging, but it is the best salsa I've ever tried.
And Halloween did start in Ireland.
Yeah. So it started in Ireland, and then, let's see what else we got interesting. Yeah, during the famine, you know, all the that's when most of the Irish came here, and that's when Halloween became popular. And then costumes and masks were worn at the festivals back in the old days with the pagans to mimic the evil spirits or placate them. And they carved pumpkins or jack-o'-lanterns. Like, it was first started as, like, they carved turnips or rhubarb, believing that, I think it was, no, just turnips. And they believed that the head was the most powerful part of the body, containing the spirit and knowledge. So the Celts used the head of the vegetable to frighten off any superstitions. And then the name jack-o'-lantern can be traced to the Irish legend of Stingy Jack, a greedy, gambling, hard-drinking old farmer. He tricked the devil into climbing a tree and trapped him by carving a cross into the trunk. In revenge, the devil placed a curse on him, making him forever wander the earth at night with the only light he had was a candle inside of a hollow turnip head. Mm. In America, the tradition of carving pumpkins preceded the Irish coming here with the Halloween, but they kind of like incorporated it. Once they came, it was like instead of the turnip, they replaced it with the jack-o'-lantern. But before that, they were still carving pumpkins just as a harvest-type festival, ritual-type thing here. So,
but now, the most important part of Halloween is the candy.
salt is ocean tears, and you were my only weakness for years and years and years. You little yellow sweetie, you were hiding in a jar. Now my mind is gone completely. Take off the lid and there you are. You're my candy. Candy. Well, the devil, she made sweet candy. Took 6 days and nights to dream. On the seventh day she rested, woke up early and made ice cream. Now the devil, she must be a dentist with deep jawbreaker eyes, red rope hair, gumdrop lips, cotton candy thighs. You're my lava stole my body, an aftertaste stole my mind, left me dangling down defenseless, and this weekend as she said goodbye. Now my teeth are worn and useless, my eyes too sunk to see, my tongue swole up to twice its size, and all I wanna do is
that was the President of the United States of America with candy. And we're going to talk about candy now. We're going to talk about trick-or-treating. Now, trick-or-treating on Lopez Island is a lot different than trick-or-treating in South Boston. And we're going to compare and contrast our trick-or-treating experiences. So let's talk about your trick-or-treating experiences, Michael.
Well, I grew up in housing projects with so many. There's like 12 apartments in each building and so many connected buildings. It goes on for a long way. So you could just run up and down the stairs and like fill a bag in no time. We used to use pillowcases. And my mother put us on a quota of 2 pillowcases. That's it. No more than that, because she was afraid like our teeth would... Our teeth would just rot right out of our heads.
So how long would it take you to fill up 2 pillowcases?
No time. We used to pace ourselves to go. The irony of, like, here you go, rushing around. We went slow. We made sure we went slow so we could enjoy it. And then we still had, like, a whole night ahead of us of just, like, messing around and stuff, like egging buses and and cabs. We used to like to do with our masks on because they couldn't see us. But we could get candy in no time.
Yeah, see, Lopez, we had to hustle to get a bag full. I mean, if we got a bag full, we were lucky because the houses are a lot more spread out. You had to, you know, when you were a kid, you had to get your parents to drive you around to the different houses. And you had to, you'd get out, you'd run to a house, you'd get the candy as fast as you could, then you'd hustle to the next house and you'd try to get as much and as little time as you could and try to get a bag full. Sometimes you'd get held up at certain houses. There'd be like old people there who wanted to look at your costume, and they'd be like, oh, come in, let me look at your costume. and we just took a lot more time to get a bag full of candy on Lopez.
Another thing I remember is that like my mother said, we can only have two bags, pillowcases, big old pillowcases we could have. But some kids, they could have like unlimited, and they would like, greedy kids would never have enough. So there were kids that also went to like corner stores, like Store 24 and stuff, and trick or treat to the cashier, and then just get hooked up in the store, and just like, I mean, it's just unlimited candy on Halloween.
Wow. Yeah, Lopez, there were certain hot spots on the island. Like, anyone, a smart trick or treater, even if you live on the South End, like I lived on the South End, a smart trick-or-treater goes to the North End, because on the North End is the most amount of houses in the smallest amount of area. So you could just get out of the car in town, and you could run all around town, and you could get a good load of candy. So that was a hot spot. But anywhere else on the island, you had to far in between houses.
I'm thinking now that I wish my mother didn't put that two-bag quota on me, because
you'd still have candy now.
I don't see why salty mothers do that, because most of us end up toothless anyway through the years.
Oh, I used to dream of being able to trick-or-treat in the city, because when I was a kid and I would go visit my relatives in Chicago, and I used to see like the houses, like one, like houses, just like hundreds of houses right next to each other, and I used to think, man, if I could come here on Halloween and trick-or-treat these houses, it would be a major score.
But one thing that's a lot better is there were a lot of sickos in the city, because when you have a lot of people, so I remember the big thing when we were a kid is that my mother always used to have to go through our candy store. There were no razor blades in it.
Whoa.
And stuff like that. I bet you didn't have that on nice Lopez Island here. So
did she ever find any?
No, I think like you'd hear one story of it, but it would be in the major paper, and everyone would be paranoid and say, parents, check your kids' candy before you just let them tear into it and eating it. So
that's a good thing about Lopez. Anyone you're trick-or-treating at their house, you know them, so.
Yep, so.
Yep, but, so kids, when you're out there trick-or-treating, you just gotta hustle, try to get a bag full of candy, and don't eat it all that night.
You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try. You'll succeed at last. Yeah. Persecution you must fear. Win and lose, you've got to get your share. Your mind set on a dream. You can get it, no harder to see now. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try. You'll succeed at last. Will come your way, but the hotter the battle you see, it's the sweeter the victory. Now you can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try. You'll succeed at last. You can get it if
that was Jimmy Cliff with You Can Get It If You Really Want. So we're going to talk about costumes for Halloween. What is up with people breaking away from the Halloween tradition, what Halloween is truly about, and not dressing scary? What do you think is up with that?
It's just part of the popular culture nowadays, you know, with tradition. I mean, I feel guilty about not knowing the history of Halloween until recently, but it is about dressing like the undead. That's really what it's supposed to be. Like a ghost or a vampire or, you know.
Because you're supposed to dress like the undead or a zombie or something so that you blend in, because it's the day that the dead are supposed to be walking around so that you blend in with them.
I'm going to start. I get a kick out of some of, like, some people, I guess, take it more as like a costume party if you go to a Halloween party than a Halloween party. But I get a kick out of, like, I was at a party in Eugene last year and there were a few Hunter S. Thompsons and everything. But now that I know the history, I want to stick to, like, what if I'm going to be Hunter S. Thompson, I'm going to be the dead Hunter S. Thompson, like the ghost of Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way because I'm guilty of that too. I don't think that I've ever dressed scary for Halloween, actually. I think I've been Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, Marilyn Monroe, an alien. Well, an alien maybe could work.
I was a ninja. I remember that was my favorite. My grandmother went to Chinatown and got me like a real ninja suit. And I was Yoda. Yoda's cool because I was little when I was small and I had the big ears, you know.
That's so cool.
But yeah, for now on though, now that I know like exactly the point of the costumes and everything, it's going to be undead stuff, which is fun. I like having the blood coming. I was undead last year. I was a zombie last year.
Cool. And I got a great idea for our costumes this year. The Dead Air Gypsies are going to be dead gypsies.
Yeah, dead gypsies, not gypsies, because
dead gypsies.
And it's so appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, I just I read this quote in this book. This has to do with gypsies. It was a quote just talking about the difference between hobos, tramps, and bums, and you can add gypsy into that too. It says, "Hobos work and wander, tramps dream and wander, bums drink and wander, and gypsies scam people and wander." Okay. Well, you know, Halloween is for everyone, and whether you're dressed like the undead, a sexy nurse, or all you have is a coat of many colors, Halloween's the best holiday.
Back through the years, I go wandering once again. Back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read, about a coat of many colors Joseph wore. And then she said, "Perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness." And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes. In my coat of many colors, I hurried off to school just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told them all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me while she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me, made just for me.
That was Dolly Parton with Coat of Many Colors. I thought that song vaguely corresponded to our Halloween show because it was about making a coat of many colors, and many people make their own Halloween costumes, especially on Lopez, where there's not very many places to shop. I used to make my own Halloween costumes. Well, actually, my friend Christine would help me make them. But now, Halloween is about celebrating people who have passed. But we are going to talk about not a person that has passed right now, but a place. It's a place in Eugene, Oregon, called the Eugene International Hostel, which has recently gone the way of many other dwellings with
historic buildings with character and soul, maybe.
It's gone to be turned into a condo.
Condo units. They ripped the soul out of the hostel and they're turning it into condos for soulless. the soulless yups.
Yeah. So the Eugene International Hostel, for those of you who don't know, a hostel is, it's like a hotel, but where all the people who are staying in the hotel hang out in the living room together, eat in the kitchen together. So it's like a lot better than a hotel because you meet everybody who's staying there. There's a common area and a common kitchen, and it's a lot cheaper. You share rooms with people.
Yeah.
And
people go out on the town together. They tell stories, bang drums.
Yeah, so it's a good place to meet fellow travelers when you're on the road. Staying at a hostel. I've stayed at many hostels. Now, I've stayed at many hostels, but I have never stayed at a place like the Eugene International Hostel in Eugene, Oregon. Quite a place. Why don't you explain a little about what made this place so unique?
Well, the manager, Nate Carson, he's a character. Just I don't know where you would start with Nate, but Nate just let people, Nate's a chess player, so he would just kind of watch all us pawns make our moves, and then he'd only step in if things got, like, way out of hand, and a lot of times he'd contribute to a lot of the bedlam that was going on.
Oh, yeah, so I should explain to people, me and Michael both used to work at this hostel. That's actually where we met in Eugene, Oregon. In this hostel, you were able to stay and live there for free if you worked there. So everyone who worked there, we weren't getting paid. We were just getting a free place to stay. And it was quite an interesting experience.
We had a couple of, like when I was there, we had a couple of young kids in Wyoming. You had me from a city on the East Coast. You had just such a diverse group of people that like, different backgrounds, but everyone loved traveling and they didn't want to be like locked away in a fancy hotel room. They wanted to mix it up and mingle, and Eugene's such a unique place itself, and it's just hell of a place to get to know interesting characters.
But an interesting part about the Eugene Hostel, during the winter months, if you want to see, you know, madness, go to the Eugene Hostel during the winter months, because there's not a lot of tourism to Eugene during the cold season. So anyone who happened to come through the hostel, we didn't really get travelers during that time. We mostly got people having crises. So we'd get people who got kicked out of their house for some reason, who had just gotten, you know, their wife kicked them out, and they had no place to stay, and they had three dogs with them, or, you know.
Nate, the manager, would say the crazy train arrives in the winter.
Yeah, or crazy people who got
their checks.
Their checks.
Guys that couldn't get arrested would show up at the hostel. There was a guy that showed up at the hostel and said, he wanted to get arrested, and he said, if you don't let me stay here, I'm going to throw a brick through the window, and either way, I'm going to get a place to stay. He just wanted to get, what's kind of sad, I shouldn't be laughing, he wanted a place to stay. We either let him stay at the hostel, or he'd get arrested for tossing a brick through the hostel window.
Yeah, we got some interesting people during the winter. We got this one guy came through. I forget what his name was, but he had a dog with him that was very mean. And this man was writing an expose. So he said. He said that he had been working in the government for like 30 years, and now he was writing an expose. He didn't have a computer. He used the computer in the hostel, so he was on the computer constantly during the time that he stayed, not letting anyone else use it, so he could write his expose. And
we had Daniel, the autistic poker player, that every story he told or any advice he gave would be like related to poker. He'd be like, "Should I do this? Should I go this place?" He'd be like, "I would fold." He would just say, no, don't go there.
He was also a palm reader.
Yeah.
He was a poker player and a palm reader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really interesting guy. He grew up on a kibbutz in Israel. He's now a born-again Christian, but he's heavy into poker, and that's how he makes his money to stay at the hostel, by playing at local.
Yeah, he explained to me about how he was a very, like conservative player. He wouldn't bet a whole lot of money. He would, if he had a bad hand, he'd fold, but he would always go home with a profit because of playing the way he did. And he also said because people expected him to play conservatively, he could use that to his advantage by sometimes bluffing, and people would never expect him to bluff. So if he bluffed, he was able to win, and he was able to make his living off of poker.
He didn't always have anything in his hand. Sometimes he had nothing, but sometimes nothing can be a real cool hand.
Yeah, that's a great quote from Cool Hand Luke, a movie I just saw recently. Well, no matter where you go in life, it's always important to walk on the sunny side of the street.
Nothing at all. I knew that day I was gone.
That was the Pogues with the Sunny Side of the Street. Hey, it's our Halloween giveaway tonight. We're trying to get our listeners to call in. So, Michael, what do we have for our Halloween giveaway?
First, let's give them the number. What's the number?
Okay, the number here is 468-3656. Wait, for anyone who's listening not on Lopez, it's 360-468-3656, and we're having a Halloween giveaway. The third caller gets $100,000.
That's right, the third caller wins $100,000. So we'll keep our lines open and hope to hear from you.
Yep, we will deliver that $100,000 to you personally.
Personally deliver it.
Okay, so what should we talk about while we're waiting for people to call in? What's been on your mind recently?
It's been on my mind.
We got Halloween coming up.
We should just let people know if they're probably aware of it already. But the pumpkin. I mean, this is pumpkin season. Even though it's like people want to carve jack-o'-lanterns, but Alia made one hell of a pumpkin curry.
Good point. Now this just occurred to me. This was like a flash of brilliance, of genius. I was like, okay, so it's pumpkin season. So, like, you know, you can buy pumpkins at the store. They're only 25 cents a pound, which is pretty cheap. That's a lot of bang for your buck. You know, everyone buys pumpkins during pumpkin season, and we carve them into cool-looking jack-o'-lanterns, which I love, too. But you know what? Why don't we take these pumpkins and why don't we make some yummy pumpkin food during pumpkin season? So I made a delicious pumpkin curry. It was easy to make. It was just like, you know, you put all the same ingredients that you put in any other curry. Coconut milk, onion, garlic, ginger, curry powder, you know, different spices that you want, and then you put pumpkin chunks, and it's really good.
And we've been eating it for 2 nights, and this is just a little pumpkin we bought.
Yeah, I only used a third of the pumpkin, and it made enough food for, like, the two of us for 2 nights.
So in these times when everybody's tightening their belts and worldwide food shortages, like, it's pumpkin time.
Yeah, it's time to eat your pumpkins instead of carving them into jack-o'-lanterns.
Carve them into a nice pumpkin curry.
Maybe you could carve the jack-o'-lantern face, but you could take the pieces that you carve out, you could eat.
Yep.
There's the thought.
The seeds are really good, too, of course. Everyone knows about that, but you could roast the seeds, and they're good.
You can make pumpkin curry. You could make a pumpkin soup, or you could make a pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin scampi.
Pumpkins on toast.
Pumpkin kebab.
Pumpkin
ramen
noodles.
Pumpkin wings.
Pumpkin kebab.
Pumpkin souffle.
Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin a la mode.
Pumpkin salad.
Pumpkin peas.
Pumpkin
um Enough about Bubba Gump.
Bubba
Gump Pumpkin Company.
If anyone has any good pumpkin dishes ideas, you should call in, because realistically, I can only think of pumpkin curry, pumpkin soup, pumpkin pie. What else can you make with pumpkin?
You know what? I'd really like to know, because that pumpkin curry you made was so delicious, and I'm so eager to have something else pumpkin. Let's give away another 100 grand for the first caller to call in with the pumpkin recipe.
Yeah.
We'll deliver another. So there's 200 grand that will be delivered to these callers.
Good. Yeah. You know, pumpkin, when I was eating the pumpkin curry, I was realizing that pumpkin is like squash, but better tasting.
Yeah, I agree. That curry was so good with the coconut milk too, though. I mean, it's all about the pumpkin, but God, that was good.
It's all about the pumpkin. And it's all about Halloween. So we're going to play another Halloween song.
Yeah, when I go over yonder, I will see my mother, my sister, and my father, but my brother is going to hell. Yeah, they hung him from the gallows as the sun turned red from yellow, and the crowd, they heard him halting, and they sighed with much relief. Asked him for any last words. My brother spit onto his clean shirt, and he smiled without redemption and said, "This is one soul God don't need." Oh, yes, I loved him, but I won't miss him. Yes, he's burning and he's twisting for his heartless dedication to the devil and his creed. Oh, as a child we called him rotten, till he was lonely and forgotten, and he revenged our constant jeering, oh, with his every word and deed. Oh, yeah, for my contribution, oh, and the soul's lack of retribution, I would ask the Lord's forgiveness on my bare abandoned knee. Oh, it's the tale of Johnny Rotten, yeah, who was lonely and forgotten. And it's the tale of my only brother, and it's the tale of one bad seed. Ah!
That was Amy Ray from the Indigo Girls on her solo album, and that song is called Johnny Rotten Tail. We just offered to give away 200 grand, and I can't believe no one has called up. We'll deliver the 100 grand personally.
To each house. To each caller.
We will. What were we going to talk about?
We're just going to give a shout out. Is that what you say? Shout out?
Yeah, shout out. To who?
To Ralph Nader.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so... I was researching this morning about the debates about the history of who's allowed to debate, which candidates are allowed to debate for the election. And I found some interesting things in my research. Okay, so the debates for the presidential election used to be run by the League of Women Voters, and any candidate who had 5% of the poll in one poll was allowed to debate. So that could include a lot of candidates. Now, in 1984, I believe, one of the third party candidates Who was that?
Maybe it was 94, Ross Perot.
Well, he got a big percentage of the votes as a third-party candidate, and the Democrats and Republicans didn't like that, so they took over. I think it was 1984 when they took over the debates. Now the debates are run by the chair of the Republican Party, and the chair of the Democratic Party are in charge of the presidential debates. And they've bumped that percentage up to any candidate can run who has 15% of the in the poll in three different polls.
Yeah.
So the third runner up in the polls right now is Ralph Nader. He's third after, I think, Obama's first.
Right.
Then McCain and then Ralph Nader. But he's not allowed to be in the debates because he only has, I think the highest is 8%.
As is, he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell at winning. But if he was allowed to debate, I still don't think he'd be able to win. But instead of getting like a centrist Democrat, you know, like Obama might be a centrist Democrat, he might force the Democrats more towards the people's side, towards the left. But I'm really torn because now I hear that Noam Chomsky is so afraid. Like, I do listen to him. It's like, if I'm gonna gamble football, I'll listen to an ESPN expert that's like knows their football better than me and that I trust. And Noam Chomsky's saying that he's going to vote for Obama, which is like really, I'm really wrestling with what, you know, I love Nader, but I don't know, you know, now, I mean, I'm still going to go for Nader, but the fact that Chomsky's going to go for Obama, that's how scary McCain is to some people.
Yeah, I should say right now before I say anything else, the views and opinions expressed right now are solely those of the hosts and our guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KLOI or GIVE. Yeah, so what we were talking about before is McCain seems like he's like I don't know, like he might want bad things to happen.
McCain seems like, he reminds me of like, they say Obama's the rock star, but McCain's like the rock star. He's like Jim Morrison when he gets up in front of the crowd and says this whole crap house is going up in flames. He wants it to happen. He wants like the apocalyptic save.
Obama might be accepting some donations from
country.
from corporations that we don't agree with, but I believe that he wants good things to happen for the country, that he has good intentions. McCain, I'm not quite sure if he has.
I think McCain is insane. I mean, it rhymes, but it's he's definitely insane.
Yeah.
He wants to like up the. He wants to go at Iran. I mean, I don't know. I don't even want to get. I don't want to get too negative.
Yeah, but anyway, no matter what, candidate people are for, I believe that in this country, in our democracy, anyone should be allowed to run. You should be allowed
to
run and be heard and not be told that they're a spoiler if they get a certain percentage of the votes. To, you know, people should not be condemned for voting for who they want to vote for, who they feel represents them the best. And
the Democrats just have a long way to go. Like, I remember back in the day, the outside candidate was, I don't remember, this is before my time, there was George McGovern, and anyone who wanted to vote for him was called a counterculture McGovernick. So we're a couple of counterculture Naderics, I guess.
Yeah, so... So we just want to say that we want to give a shout out to Ralph. We've been watching his videos on YouTube.
They're great.
He's making the rounds on YouTube. He may not be allowed in the debates or on a lot of major networks on TV, but
being brave.
He's a YouTube star.
So stay brave, Ralph, and don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid to run.
holler, there's a thriving town, a treasure trove that makes the world go round. When the city barons bring their legal papers and guns, oh darling, don't be afraid to run. When we came to settle here, we came to stay, maybe raise a family, earn a decent wage. Now every public servant reeks of suspicion, so darling, don't be afraid to run. Auspicious liaison. Oh, darling, don't be afraid to run. Darling, don't be afraid to run. And don't turn your back on the noonday sun. The people will greet you with derision. You'll never be there, but a citizen. So darling, don't be afraid to run.
That was Greg Graffin of Bad Religion, and that was his solo album, which is called Cold as the Clay, and that was the song Don't Be Afraid to Run. That's a really good album, I should tell you about that. Greg Graffin is the lead singer of Bad Religion, a punk band, but he recorded a solo album of like old folk tunes and also songs he wrote himself, and it's a really good album. So this is me and Michael's, I think it's our last show as Dead Air Gypsies, just us, while the cat's been away, my mom's been away, I think she's going to be back for our next show, so.
And it's like the last minute of this show, so I guess we're going to have to eat those 200 grand candy bars on our own because no one called in.
Yeah, we
were thought the lines would be flooded after offering to give away 200 grand.
Yeah, we were even going to deliver it to your house, but I guess we'll just have to eat them.
We'll just have to eat them, and maybe give them out to the trick-or-treaters when they come by.
Yeah, maybe we'll save them for the trick-or-treaters. We hope we get some trick-or-treaters this year all the way on the south end. We hope you'll make it to the South End. We'll try to just give you a lot of candy and get you out of there as quickly as possible so you can get to the next house and get a bag full of candy.
And 200 grand.
Yeah, so see you next week. We'll be back with the original Dead Air Gypsy. And hopefully she'll still let us be on the show. So did you want to say something before we play our last song?
Yeah, just to set up this next song, I heard a good quote. The difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, the Democrats are beholden to a slightly less evil set of special interests.
You're listening to KLOI LP, Lopez Island, Washington, 102.9 FM.
If I criticize it, you say you'll fight to the death to save your useless flag. You want a banana republic that bad? Why don't you go move to wood? But what can just one of us do against all that money and power trying to crush us into roaches? We won't destroy society in a day until we change ourselves first from the inside out. We can start by not lying so much and treating other people like dirt. It's so easy not to base our lives on how much we can stand. You know, it feels good to lift that monkey off of me. Let's say the things that do with that. We take another shot. What a god it gets to do. Trying to take my rights away. We've got to rise above the need for cops and laws. Let kids learn communication. Send schools push competition. About more art and theater instead of sports. Keep policy drugs and legalize them. Crime drops from the market present. Budgets in the red. Let's tax evasion. No one will do it for us. We'll just to fix ourselves. Honesty ain't all that hard. Just put Rambo back inside France. Causing trouble for the system's much more fun. Thanks for the toilet paper. Is that meaningless to me? Look around, we're all people who need countries anyway. I think I love it too. I think I love it more than you. I care enough to fight the stars and stripes of corruption. Let's bring it on down. Let's bring it on down. Let's bring it on down. If we don't try, if we just try, if we can't find a way to do better than this, we will.